Gospel chapter 13. And our text for this evening is the verse 33. Luke chapter 13 and verse 33. The Lord Jesus here is speaking, and the Lord says, "Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem." We announced our title of our message tonight as "The Fox and the Lamb." The Fox and the Lamb. Man, depraved man, can sometimes be likened unto a wolf. Cruel, merciless, and with an insatiable thirst for blood. Sometimes he can be like a dog, snarling, growling, snapping, as a dog does, with a bone that he himself cannot eat. Sometimes man can be like a serpent, stinging, venomous, slanderous in his words, threatening in his actions. Sometimes the depraved man can be like a fox. Be like a fox, cunning, crafty, subtle, always on the hunt when he appears out of his den. Such a title was given by the Lord to Herod Antipas. But we read there in the verse 32, "And he said unto them," that is unto those Pharisees, "Go ye and tell that fox," Herod Antipas, "go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected." Herod Antipas, who was duped by an evil woman that led to him murdering and beheading John the Baptist. Herod Antipas, one of those who sat in judgment of the Lord Jesus, one who questioned Christ, questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. That is, Christ answered him nothing. Luke 23 and verse 9. But before that mock trial, Herod, that fox, was hunting Christ. He's well named. He was on the hunt for the Lord Jesus. So here we have before us the scene of Herod the fox trying to hunt down Christ the Lamb. The fox and the lamb. But while Herod Antipas, that fox, may use all his cunning and hunting skills to overtake and kill the lamb, his hunt would end in failure. Because the Lord made it clear, in spite of his threatenings, made it clear what he must do. In verse 33, we're told, "Nevertheless, I must," the Lord says, "I must," in spite of what Herod the fox might say, in spite of what he might try to do, you tell him, tell that fox, "Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem." So when Christ the Lamb said, "Nevertheless, I must. Then 1,000 foxes, 1,000 Herods would not be able to hunt down and capture and kill this lamb. Because whenever the Savior says, I must, no power on earth or in hell can hinder or halt the purpose and the plan of the Lamb of God. The fox and the lamb. Again, our text, the Lord says, nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. As we look at this must of the Master relating to the fox and Christ the Lamb, I want us first of all to consider the delivering of the message. The message was delivered by a certain number of Pharisees. The Lord Jesus was in Galilee, which was in Herod's jurisdiction. Evidently, he had made it known to certain of the Pharisees his intention to kill the Lord Jesus. You look there at verse 31. In the same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. It was then that the Lord Jesus responded to that message in the words of our text. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. I must. Doesn't matter what Herod says. Doesn't matter what is planned against me. I must walk today, tomorrow, and the day following. Regarding this message and the delivering of it to the Lord by the Pharisee, one is to notice the person. The Savior knew what he was doing when he referred to Herod as the fox, because he knew he was out hunting the Savior, as a fox will do. And the fox will hunt a lamb. That is what a fox does. It is a cunning hunter. And as far as Herod was concerned, Christ was the lamb. Christ was the prey that Herod the fox was hunting. He was just part of a pack, what we might call a pack of wild dogs, a pack of wolves and foxes and hounds that sought to hunt down and kill this lamb. Now you might say, but sure, hounds and foxes and dogs and wolves, they don't hunt together. They may hunt each other, but they'll not hunt together. But you think of those who hunted Christ. They did hunt together. The scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, the elders. They all joined forces to hunt down the lamb. They came together in packs and seeking to snare and destroy Christ the lamb. We read in Matthew 12:14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Pharisees. Mark then tells us the Herodians joined in the hunt. Mark 3 and verse 6. Luke then informs us the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. There you have the hounds, the foxes, the wild dogs hunting, joining together to hunt down Christ. And Herod Antipas has joined the hunt, seeking to destroy the Lamb. One thing stopped them. One thing stopped Herod. Pharisees, the scribes, the chief priests, and the elders, and all the others who hated Christ and sought to hunt him down. One thing stopped them. The Lord's word must. I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following. In other words, the Lord Jesus, when he said, I must, he was referring to his will, he was referring to his purpose, he was referring to his plan, because the time and the place of Christ laying down his life, it wasn't taken from him. He laid down his life, and the time and the place and the location, he would decide and had decided. It wouldn't be in Galilee. It would be outside the walls of Jerusalem, on a hill lone and grey. And so the Lord had a message for those Pharisees to take back to that fox. I must walk today, tomorrow, and the day following, where no prophet can die in Galilee. We have seen something of the person. Next we look at the pretenders. The pretenders. We are told that certain of the Pharisees delivered this message. It came from Herod. And we read in the verse 31, the same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. Now remember, these words were delivered by Pharisees. They'd obviously been in contact with Herod, or Herod had been in contact with them, and they came with the message from Herod and delivered it to Christ. Pharisees. They came to Christ pretending friendship, pretending to be concerned about his safety, telling him, get thee out, depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. Well, if these Pharisees had anything to do with those Pharisees whom we have already referred to, who came together and plotted and planned the death of Christ, seeking to destroy him, then their concern, their friendship was all a sham. Was empty. There was nothing in it. Nothing at all. Yes, they said, get thee out and depart hence. That was not only the desire of Herod, that was their desire, because they hated Christ. They had conspired against him to destroy him. They were the ones who wanted him out. They were the ones who wanted him to depart. Get thee out. When they said that, they were meaning, get thee out of Galilee. We don't want you here. They just want him to go away. Not that they were concerned about his safety at all. So the Pharisees were always pretenders. Isn't that why the Lord often rebuked them? For their pretense. There they stood in the street corners with their long robes. And there they would stand and pretend to be praying. And the people would look upon them and think of them, oh, those Pharisees, they're holy men. But the Lord knew differently. Remember, he said they were white as sepulchres. They were white on the outside, but inside they were full of dead men's bones. They were rotten inside. They were always pretenders. Listen to what the Lord said about the Pharisees. Matthew 15, verse 8. This people, referring to the Pharisees, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It was all a pretense, you see. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We come and worship the Lord. We ought to worship him from the heart. Not just draw nigh to him with our mouth and honor him with our lips only. We must honor him from the heart. And so we see these Pharisees, they came to the Lord and said, get thee out and depart hence. That's what they wanted. That's what they wanted. They wanted him out of Galilee. And they said this message came from Herod. No doubt it did. But really they were basically adding their amen to the words of Herod. They wanted him out. But the Lord said, nevertheless I must. You go and tell that old fox. I must walk today, tomorrow, and the day following. In other words, the Lord was not in any hurry to get out of Galilee. I must walk today, tomorrow. And the Lord would not leave until his work was done. Look at verse 32. The Lord said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow and the third day. I'm not leaving. I have a work to do. I have to cast out devils. I will do cures today and tomorrow and the third day. They said, get out. They said, depart hence. But the Lord says, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following. I must. It was the word must that governed what Christ would do. It was his will. It was the will of God. And the Pharisees and Herod could not change that. As well as the person and the pretenders, we see also the plot that was hatched against Christ. Herod, that fox, had revealed to certain of those Pharisees his plot regarding the Lord. We read there in the verse 31, the same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod was Well, Calvary, that was the plot. The words, Herod will kill thee. Those words may be rendered in the original, Herod desires thee to kill thee. I find that very interesting. That these words would be spoken about the Lord Jesus. Herod desires thee to kill thee. During the public ministry of the Lord Jesus, there were many who desired Christ, many who desired him. There were those who desired his healing touch. There were those who desired to hear him preach. There were those who desired his help. But the desire of Herod was very different. His was the desire of hate. He hated Christ. The Pharisees said, Herod will kill thee. A blazing fire of hate was burning in the heart of Herod, and the Pharisees told him, Herod will kill thee. But no hate was strong enough. No hate was powerful enough. No hate was deep enough in the heart of any man to disturb the Savior's purpose. For he sent a message to that fox, saying, nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following. The Pharisees told him, get thee out. They said, depart hence. They said, Herod will kill thee. But no demand from the Pharisees, nor death threat from Herod, was going to change the Savior's course. Praise his name. Nothing would change the Savior's course. I must walk today. I'm not leaving today. I must walk tomorrow. I'm not leaving tomorrow. I must walk the third. I'm not leaving until my work is done. That was the message. And no warning from the Pharisees, neither the wickedness of Herod, would move Christ from the path that he was on. We've considered then the delivering of the message. I want to look next at the defying of the monarch. The monarch being Herod, king of Galilee. And the message from Herod, that fox, had been delivered. So what would the Christ, the Lamb, now do? How would the Lamb respond to the fox? We read again in the verse 33. Nevertheless, I must walk today. There's his defiance. And tomorrow. And the day following. Regarding the defying of the monarch, I want you to notice his walk. I believe that's very significant. When the Lord said, nevertheless, I must walk. No threat from Herod would cause Christ the Lamb to break his stride. He said, I must walk. I'll walk today. I'll walk tomorrow. I'll walk the next day. The fact that he said, nevertheless, I must walk, indicates that Herod's hunting for him did not disturb Christ the Lamb at all. He didn't say, "Oh, I must hurry." No, he said, "I must walk." Remember, Christ is the Lamb, Herod is the fox. And what happens when a fox or a wolf or a wild dog comes into a field where there are sheep and they begin to hunt the sheep or hunt the lambs? Why, those poor helpless creatures, they all run. They run. Christ did not run. Christ said, "Nevertheless, I must walk." Christ was not going to run. Other lambs and sheep may run, but not this lamb. For he said, "I must walk." No, he didn't panic. He said, "I must walk." He didn't panic. He didn't flee. He didn't hide. Somebody said, "I must walk." And he would walk there in Galilee, day after day after day. And he would not leave. He would not leave. Not believe. He would not leave because of Herod. He would not leave until he had his work done. That's when he would leave. But not until then. And no threat from Herod would in any way alter the course of Christ, for he said, "I must walk today." You take that word "walk." Of course, there are many words in the scriptures translated "walk." The one that we have here, the word that is translated "walk" here, is a word that means a continuous, uninterrupted walk. That's the word we have here. That's the word the Lord used. A continuous, uninterrupted walk. The same word is used to describe Zacharias and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist. Luke chapter 6, verse 1. "And they were both righteous," Zacharias and Elizabeth, "before God," listen, "walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless." That was their walk. They didn't slacken at any time in observing the Lord's commands and his ways. What was their walk? A continuous, uninterrupted walk. And as far as Christ's walk was concerned, he must walk through Galilee continually and uninterrupted. That's how he would walk. That's what he said, "I must walk." And so nothing the old fox Herod could do about it. That's who our Savior is. That's who he is. And we rejoice in him tonight. For that fox, that Herod, would not hinder Christ or hamper Christ or halt Christ in the work that he had to do there in Galilee. Rejoices your heart when you look at the Lord and study him. And even here in this incident, we have a wonderful Savior. We have a brave Savior. We have. As well as his walk, we notice also his work. The Lord had a work to do in Galilee, and neither Herod nor the Pharisees would stop him carrying out that work. Now what he said, verse 32, He said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, I do cures, and today and tomorrow and the third day. That was his work. And the Lord had poor souls there in Galilee. He had poor souls on his heart. He must reach them. He must rescue them. He must relieve them of their suffering. That's what he says. That he had devils to cast out and cures to work on individuals. And Herod would not stand in his way. And hell would not stand in his way. And all who hated him would not stand in his way, as we've already seen in this study of the must of the Master, what he said in John 9 and verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. I must work. I must. Nevertheless, I must walk. Nevertheless, I must cure the sick. I must cast out devils. There's so many things he must do. He must reach individuals in Galilee before the devil destroys them. He must reach and cure the sick before their sickness took them. His walk was governed by his must. His work was governed by his must. And so he would work and he would walk today and tomorrow and the day following. Just however long it would take him. He was in no hurry as far as the threat of Herod was concerned. And Herod, with his threatenings, would not be able to stop him or disturb him or hinder him in his work. And no wicked prince or king can change the musts of the Master. For the musts of the Master are the musts of God. For he is God manifest in flesh. When the Savior said, I must, that meant the deed was as good as done. That's our Savior. We have his walk. I must walk. We have his work. He must cast out devils. He must perform cures. And then we have his will. The Pharisees who delivered this message from Herod insisted, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. That was Herod's will. But Herod's will meant nothing when it came up against the will of Christ. They were wanting to usher him out of Galilee that very day. Well, the Lord made it clear that he would not be leaving Galilee that day or the next day or the day following. It was the Lord's will. It was the Lord's will to stay in Galilee. It was the Lord's will to cast out devils. It was the Lord's will to do cures. He must do those things today, tomorrow, and the day following. He must do it. That's his will. Didn't matter what Herod said. Didn't matter what the Pharisees said. Didn't matter what the haters of Christ said. It was his will to cast out devils, and his will shall be done. It was his will to perform cures, and his will shall be done. It was his will to stay in Galilee today, tomorrow, and the day following, and his will shall be done. That's all wrapped up in the word must. Yes, Herod was as cunning as a fox. Tried to hunt down the Savior. But you know something? When Herod came up against the will of Christ, Herod the fox, he was as helpless as a kitten. He had no power, no might against the Lamb of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate, was the will of Herod, the Tetrarch, our King of Galilee. But what was that will compared to the will of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? That's why when Christ said, I must walk today, tomorrow, and the day following, 1,000 Herods could not stop Christ, could not hinder Christ. He would do the work. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 4. With the word of a king is, Christ is the king. With the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? The word of Christ to Herod was, nevertheless, I must walk. They considered the delivering of the message, the defying of the monarch. We come now finally to the destination of the master. No matter what Herod said or what he had planned, and seeking to hunt down and take the life of the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, he would fail. He would fail because, one, of the path of the Master. The path the Lord Jesus was on. He said, nevertheless, I must walk today, tomorrow, and the day following. Where was he? He was in Galilee. He was on a certain path that would lead him eventually out of Galilee and lead him to Jerusalem. That's the path he was on. And Herod could not interrupt him in that path. Not at all. In his response to Herod, the Lord said, it cannot be that a prophet perish. The word perish there is the word die. It cannot be that a prophet die out of Jerusalem. He made it clear to Herod that he, as a prophet, would not die in Galilee. And so, the Pharisees were wasting their time. Whenever they told him, you need to get out. You need to leave Galilee. You're in the jurisdiction of Herod. You need to get out. The Lord told them, I will not be dying in Galilee. Therefore, I will walk today, and I will walk tomorrow, and I will walk the day following. Herod will not kill me, and I will not die in Galilee. I'm on a path that will lead me to Jerusalem. Indeed, when the Lord said, it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. It cannot be. Take those words. It cannot be. Those words mean it is impossible. And so the Pharisees told the Lord, need to get out, Herod will kill thee. The Lord said in response, it is impossible. It was impossible for Herod to kill Christ. It was impossible for the Lord Jesus to die there in Galilee. Instead, he would lay down his life. Not in Galilee. Not in Capernaum. Not in Nazareth. But in Jerusalem. So when the Savior said, I must walk, that walk would take him to Jerusalem. That was his destination. It wouldn't be a street somewhere in Galilee, nor a field, nor a valley somewhere in Galilee. Where would he die? It would be on the hill. On a hill outside the walls of Jerusalem. A hill lone and grey. A hill called Calvary. And when the Lord Jesus received that message that day from the Pharisees, that came from Herod, the Lord was on a path. He was walking a road that would lead him to that hill. And as I've said, no power on earth or power in hell would disrupt him or put him off that road. That's why he said, nevertheless, I must walk. Today, tomorrow, and the day following. So every road that the feet of Christ walked on, from Nazareth to Galilee to Capernaum, would take him to that place called Golgotha, the place of a skull. That's where he would die. But no Herod would take his life from him. No Pilate would take his life from him. No Pharisee would take his life from him. He would lay it down. He laid down his life. And Herod, far from being a threat to Christ, you know what Herod was? He was nothing more than a spectator. Because he would not stop the Lord. What did the Lord say? Impossible. There you have his path. Then you have his place. It's pointed out, the place where Christ would die would not be anywhere in Galilee, but it would be in Jerusalem. He said, it cannot be that a prophet perish or a prophet die out of Jerusalem. And Christ, who is our prophet, he's our prophet, our priest, and our king, knew that's where he would lay down his life, there on the cross of Calvary. And here I see Christ identifying himself with all the prophets who had gone before him. For we read in the verse 34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets. There it is. Killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. The Lord would die outside Jerusalem. And in so doing, he would identify himself with the prophets who were killed in Jerusalem before him. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets. That's where Christ would lay down his life. He knew that he would walk today, tomorrow, and the day following, and the day following, and the day following, until he reached Jerusalem. And it would be there that he would lay down his life. He must walk this way to Jerusalem. He must walk this way to Calvary. And there was nothing Herod could do about it. His path, his place, his perfecting. Notice there the words of the Savior. The Lord said that he would be perfected. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils and do cures today and tomorrow and the third day, I shall be perfected. Of course, we all know Christ is perfect. He's without sin. So what does that mean? When the Lord said, I shall be perfected, what did he mean? Well, we look at the word perfected, and the word perfected means to complete or to finish. What do you think of that? To complete or to finish. And what was he going to Jerusalem to do? He was going there to finish the work his Father had given him to do. John 17, verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. So when he said, nevertheless, I must walk, that's what he was walking towards. So Herod would not. Herod could not. Herod did not break his stride. Christ was walking all the way to Jerusalem. He laid down his life and finished the work he had been sent into the world to do. That's not what he cried from the cross. It is finished. It is complete. The work is done. And we rejoice that all who trust Christ, there's nothing to do. There's nothing to add to. The work is done. The work is complete. He gives us a full, free salvation. I must walk today. Herod, you'll not stop me. I'll not be dying in Galilee. I must walk today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be. It is impossible. It cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. And Herod, it is impossible for me to die in Galilee. Oh, don't you love that story? Don't you love our dear Savior and what he did? Nothing stopped him. Nothing hindered him. Nothing took him out of his stride until he arrived at Calvary. And remember, the labor, it was all for us. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. There's the story of the fox and the lamb. And oh, what a lamb. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The Lord our God, we bless thee afresh for the Lord Jesus Christ. How we love him for who he is. How we love him for his determination. Not only, Lord, in the light of Herod's plan to kill him, but the Pharisees and others who sought to destroy him, sought to silence him. But he kept on walking until he reached Jerusalem. And there he walked through the streets. And there he climbed that hill. And there he was nailed to that cross. O Lord, we thank Thee, our Father, for Thy Son, and for the work of the Holy Spirit opening our eyes to see Him as our substitute, enabling us to receive Him by faith as our Savior. We praise the Lord. Lord, be with us now as we leave God's house. Give us traveling mercy home. Bless us, Lord, all throughout this week. Keep us safe on the roads and the highways. Keep our homes, our dwellings safe. Keep us, Lord, healthy and well. And, O Lord, comfort those who have lost loved ones through this pandemic and others who are sorrowing tonight. So, Lord, be with us as we part the one from the other. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now, and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. And, Lord, do remember our school. And keep Thy hand on our teachers and on our children. Protect them also. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen.